Streaming video workflow does not need to be a complicated deal, and today's guest offers some great equipment that makes that workflow and everything that goes with it so much easier. It all happens next on the Church Solutions Podcast.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast, brought to you by StreamingChurch.tv. The Church Solutions Podcast is all about helping you and your church with technology and other resources for your life and ministry. Now, here are your hosts, Steve Lacy and Phil Thompson.
It's the Church Solutions Podcast. If people don't know, we've been doing this for so long, but there's always this one little thing I say, and it's mostly to get Steve to smile. And that is right before a second or two before the podcast starts recording, I will say, "Does my hair look okay?" So we just did that, and our guest commented. All right, so welcome
to the Church Solutions. You include the guests. You include the guests in their awkward pause. I don't know.
Yeah, the guest doesn't know. They don't know that this is a thing we've done for many, many years. So they're like, well, should I answer that or not? So this is episode 503. Let me take a sip of coffee. I'll forget the coffee. And it is the Church Solutions Podcast. My name is Phil Thompson, and Steve Lacy is with us. We're going to introduce our guest in just a moment. Steve, how are you?
Doing great. Now there's a sip of coffee.
Well, now, I thought you would say, if you never say, you're not vulnerable to our listeners. You just say, oh, everything's great. And I personally know in your life right now, it's just full of turmoil and chaos. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. He's not chaotic.
Everything's in chaos order. Of the good kind.
Steve is a planned guy. He has everything organized and planned, and he has a plan for everything.
Except when the seven grandkids come over.
Yeah, that's...
Then turmoil and chaos.
See, that's God's way of dealing with you. All right, yes. now I'm choked up. Choking on my decaf coffee. All right. You know what decaf coffee is good for?
Nothing is what they say, right?
Exactly. All right. So without goofing around here, we're going to talk about PTZ cameras today, or maybe something else. Who knows? Maybe my hair. But this is episode 503, and our guest today brings over 15 years of experience as a creative professional specializing in video production and the production workflows, and those things are important. His background includes some commercial video production for national brands, corporate stuff, corporate events, strategic communications, and he is with Epiphan. And at Epiphan, he focuses on broadcast without barriers. We're going to talk about what that means. He helps lots of organizations, including houses of worship. And so he's got lots of experience and lots of, just good experience in working with different organizations and churches. So he's recognized as an industry leader. And so he's part of webinars, he's educational stuff and all that good stuff. So now that we're done with his bio, we're out of time. So no, I'm just kidding. Let's introduce Dan Wallace to the Church Solutions Podcast. Dan Wallace, how are you today?
I'm doing great. Great to be here, Phil and Steve. And you know what? I heard you say in the intro there that this is episode 503. That's incredible.
Yeah, wow. We've done more.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you very much. We've actually done more. We won't get into it, but we did stuff well before this. And but it was before, was it before Apple? Well, it wasn't before Apple, but it was, we didn't.
No, it's not before Apple.
We did a lot of stuff
before it was called the podcast, right?
Yes, before podcasts got popular. We used to do live events. We did just live streaming events, and because we were a live streaming company. So we thought we should do live streaming events. We did lots of those every week. So,
can I ask you a question? What has been your sort of secret to success? I mean, most podcasts don't last 500 episodes. What has kept you guys going? And what
Steve has tried
secret?
To kill it many times. Let me tell you. But I don't know. We're just consistent. Steve, I don't know what the answer is.
We are consistent. I think a big part of it is I know Phil really enjoys it and he's really good at it. So you just keep going. So, And I enjoy it too. So
it seems like you guys are having fun with it. So I think that's important, and that's definitely a recipe for success.
Yeah, I mean, as people, if they listen to this podcast, know that I have a background in Christian broadcasting, and I helped start a couple stations and do a lot of things in it and never got rich off it. Shocking, right? And but I do like interviewing people, and I do like doing this. And I think it helps our we're streamingchurch.tv. We have several products, Dan, as you may or may not know. But we try to do this to help our customers and also get it out there to help other people who may not be customers. So it's all about helping people. And we normally talk about tech stuff, but sometimes we do get off track and talk about, I don't know, people writing books or something. But imagine that, people writing books. All right. So, Dan, thanks for, again, thanks for asking us questions, but we want to ask you a couple questions.
Okay.
There's this thing called the EC20 PTZ camera that you guys are a big part of. Now, Steve's going to ask you some questions here, but sure. When I think of Epiphan, and I recommend Epiphan to a lot of our customers, if they're looking for a live encoder, I think of live encoders, but you guys are also doing these PTZ cameras. So what's the deal here?
Well, I think the camera is a natural extension of what Epiphan's core mission really is, which is to simplify professional video. In the intro, you mentioned that, you know, part of my mission is kind of broadcast without barriers. I want to help folks get their message out, create that video experience for their audience. And if we can make that an easier process, make it more reliable, make it more intuitive and repeatable, then that is a great way to help people have success with their video projects.
That makes perfect sense to me. What about you, Steve? You think, you know, do you want to give them a third degree on this?
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a natural fit, right? Because you guys have the encoders. Do you have other tools? I guess this PTZ camera integrates directly into the encoder, and you've got video switching and things like that. You can steer the camera. I assume it wasn't a huge leap, right?
Yeah, you know what? We have a lot of experience ourselves with PTZ cameras in all varieties, everything from very entry level to, you know, the highest end broadcast PTZ cameras. And I think the reason people choose a PTZ camera over other solutions is, in many cases, simplicity. And in many cases, it's about how you want to operate that camera. And if we can make that process easier of getting a camera set up, connected, and ready to record or stream, that just makes it, it alleviates a lot of stress in the video workflow. When you have a reliable camera that you can just plug in and know that it just works.
Yeah. And so, you know, as Steve mentioned earlier, we do streaming video and we've been doing it since 2008 or 2009. And back then, at least my experience with some PTZs was like, it was like more like security cameras, you know? I mean, they were just kind of herky jerky, you know, and they didn't do real well. And if you tried to control it, it would just kind of move slowly or something. So PTZs have come a long ways. So what is so special about this particular PTZ camera? I got to put my glasses on to read the number. EC20 PTZ camera. What's so special about this? What kind of features does this thing have that if I'm a pastor listening to this, and there are pastors listening to this Church Solutions podcast, why should I care?
I think the big thing that differentiates this camera from some of the other cameras in the competitive landscape is that it's very, very easy to use. You can take it out of the box, plug it in, and get a good result right out of the box. It has some features that really help contribute to that. Things like having an LCD screen right on the front display so that you can see the IP address of the camera as soon as you plug it in. And this is, believe it or not, a big friction point with PTZ cameras is just that initial setup. Because they are network controlled devices in most cases, you know, you're navigating through your DHCP settings. You're trying to find the IP address of your camera when you're installing it. This just makes it so much simpler to take it out of the box, plug it in and access the menu in just a few moments. In addition to that, there's a PoE Plus port on the back. So if you want to power it right off of that Ethernet port, it's possible to do that as well. And then just like the optics and the quality of the camera, you're seeing me on it right now, so that'll give you some indication. I quite literally took this one out of the box about 10 minutes before we joined this call. I plugged it in with HDMI, but you have a lot of options for how you connect the camera, whether it's HDMI, SDI, or whether you want to use a network protocol like NDI. So there's a lot of flexibility, a lot of, high-end features like AI tracking and things like that. I'm sure we can get into later, but I really think the key objective of us releasing this camera was to give our Pearl users a camera that will fit perfectly into the Epiphan ecosystem, something that you can get up and running with quickly, that you can have confidence in, and that will be reliable to get you a great result with the fewest amount of headaches.
So Phil's going to relate to this, I think, and you're probably, if this person I'm referring to is listening, they're going to be calling you in a few minutes. But Phil just spent, two hours working with a church where we had met with them earlier in the week, and they've been streaming with us for, a long time, many, many years. And all of a sudden, they had this issue where their encoder could stream just fine. You know, they had no problem. They turned the encoder on, stream goes out, but they lost the connection to the camera. And so, as Phil, after 2 or 3 hours working with these people, he's finding out, oh, there's another piece of equipment between the encoder and the camera. And then, oh, there's another, piece of equipment. There were three between the camera and the encoder. And then there was a piece of equipment after the encoder as well, he was talking about.
Yeah.
So they've got, we're talking, this is a church volunteer. I had actually spoken with him earlier in the week, and he said I don't know what a URL is, I said, I got thrown into this. I got kind of picked up and put into this position. It's not his fault, because I'm learning. I'm trying to do the best I can. But when you put them in a situation where it's the odds are definitely against them. So I could see that. Some of the guys that we had worked with at Epiphan in the past worked in the support side. And I bet that they probably had a lot of influence over, guys, we need to get a PGZ camera in place because all our challenges are outside of our equipment area and has to do with integration. Yeah. Is that something you guys have found, or?
It's so true. The anecdote that you just provided is what we see all the time. And, it's a byproduct of too much complexity in the workflow. So, if there are other pieces of equipment that we can remove and we can simplify that chain, that signal chain from, inputs like cameras and microphones to your audience, which is, out on the web somewhere, the fewer failure points that we have in that workflow is to our advantage, right? And the other thing you mentioned as well is I can understand what it's like getting that phone call of, hey, I need help. I don't know why this isn't working. And usually when you get that call, it's, when the system is needed most, right? So another component of what we have done with the EC20 camera and our roadmap for it is remote control. And if you're familiar with Epiphan, you know that we have a cloud service where you can control and monitor all of your Pearl devices. Well, now we will also have the same thing with these cameras. And what that means is, regardless of where you're located, you're going to be able to monitor, manage, troubleshoot, update, change settings on cameras. So that means someone like Phil, who's supporting those volunteers, will be able to do so more easily and to have that access to remotely manage those devices. Mm-hmm. And when they do encounter an issue that they need help with, it's that much easier to help them.
Yeah. And just to clarify, First of all, Herb, we're sorry we're using you as an example if you're listening, Herb. And we know, but it's not your fault. And the other thing is you know, customer service. I won't say the encoder that they're using. It's not Epiphan, but the initials are Hilo Aja. Oh, wait a minute. That's the encoder they're using, and customer service, I don't know. But that one of the things I've always been impressed, and we want to get back to your camera here because I want to have a question for you here, Dan. But you guys have really good customer service at Epiphan. I mean, I've reached out to you guys and gotten really quick responses, and that's one of our big deals here at Streaming Church is we want to have good customer service. You guys do a good job with that, by the way.
Well, thanks for saying that. I'm glad you mentioned it. It's a big part of what we do. You know, there's a lot of different complexity in creating a video system and a workflow, and people need help. And that's, you know, I think part of why we're so responsive is that we're passionate about what we do, and we enjoy, you know, helping our customers get a great result. And there's also a lot of ways you can connect with us. So like you can call us, but I always encourage people to use the chat bot right on our website, sure, because we monitor that during business hours. And it's a great way to, if you have a quick question, you can just go to our website and we're usually pretty quick at responding.
Go ahead, Steve. I got a question for you too.
I'm a little older than you, Dan, and there was a time when like stereos were the big thing, and the guys that were the real audiophiles would have a Marantz receiver and a this other brand amp and these other pieces of preamps and this other different woofer, and that I kind of see that culture may be living on, because I think, you know, referring back to Herb's church, I'm probably going, we need to get the best of everything. You know, let's get one of these because these guys make this great thing. And, you know, this other piece, they had all these different components, which may have been great on their own. Have you seen a trend within churches to value integration and ease of use changing over the years as opposed to picking components that are, you know, best in their field?
I hope I'm trying to encourage that trend. I hope that it's a trend this year, because, you know, especially in churches, like you said, you know, we have junior operators, we have volunteers, we have rotating staff. We really need to focus on simplicity as much as possible. I think that's the key to success, is to empower those operators to be able to, you know, focus more on the experience they're creating than on the gear. You know, we'll always need cameras, we'll always need microphones. As things move to the cloud, we might need fewer boxes in the room, and there might be some hybrid approaches to reducing the equipment footprint on premise. But really, I think that churches, I would encourage churches to look at and really take a holistic vision of like looking at what their setup actually is comprised of and how necessary are all of these components. Are there things that you could actually remove to improve your workflow? Are there things that overcomplicate operation that perhaps are not providing as much value as when they were initially brought into the system? So I think that should be our mission as the integrators, as the brains and designers behind some of these systems, is to make sure that we're helping them to simplify things as much as possible.
Speaking of workflow, by the way, your video froze up, Dan. I don't know what the deal is.
Okay, let me just try.
We can hear you.
Try flipping it off and on again.
Yeah. While you're flipping it off and on again, your audio is good, so that's fine. So let's say I'm a pastor listening to this thing, and all right, so let's say I want to get 3 EC20 PTZ cameras that you guys sell at Epiphan. What can you describe briefly what the workflow is? So I got 3 cameras. I've got a let's just say I've got a Epiphan you know, encoder, Perl encoder. Tell us what the workflow is on all that. I don't know if you can micromanage everything here. I know you're trying to get your video back up, but you know, how simple, how hard is the workflow, and you know, how's it work? Just tell me, and include the audio too, because we got to have audio piped into it.
Yeah, sure. I mean, with Epiphan, really the workhorse of our workflow is the Perl devices, and we have, you know, different scales of Perl device for different setups. So everything from a Perl Nano, which is a one channel single channel encoder, all the way up to a Perl 2, which has six channels of encoding and recording. In terms of deploying these devices, it's really simple out of the box to deploy a Perl. You put it on a network, you access it through a web browser, but you can also access that a Perl device remotely through the cloud. And to pair a Perl to your cloud account, it's as simple as just entering a pairing code that's displayed on the screen of the device. So within 5 or 10 minutes, you can have a Perl up and running.
So Dan, if someone's interested in the EC20 camera and they don't have Epiphan equipment, what how's that going to work out for them? Are the features they give up, or you know, what would you say to them?
Yeah, the great thing about the EC20 camera is it's going to work with just about any system that you want to integrate with. You don't need to have Perl devices to control the cameras. They're using open protocols like Visca for control. You've still got that LCD display on the camera for getting your IP address. There's lots of ways to connect the camera, whether it's USB, HDMI, SDI, NDIHX. So, you know, this is going to be flexible enough that you can make it work with whatever system. If you are using Epiphan, you're going to get some of those additional benefits of being able to manage your cameras remotely from anywhere in the world using our Epiphan cloud service. So it's a great camera right out of the box, whether you're using other Epiphan gear or not.
Let me jump in here. You threw something out, and I know what NDI is. But it's always good to bring this up again for our listeners, because you know, again, pastors and others, they didn't take the tech course in seminary. I don't know why they didn't put that in there.
I hope they did.
Yeah, but you mentioned NDI HX, right? So what is the NDI HX?
So NDI comes in a few different flavors. Full NDI is almost a broadcast quality signal, is what I would say. It's going to saturate your network. There's a lot of data in a full NDI stream. So the issue is that in many spaces, there just isn't the network to support the highest bandwidth of NDI. And that's why NDI HX exists. It's a much more compressed signal, but it's still giving great quality with much less bandwidth requirement. So it's possible to have more devices or cameras streaming on your network at the same time. And you're probably going to get a faster and easier result using something like NDI HX. Now, there have been a few revisions to the NDI HX standard. It started with NDI HX. There was NDI HX2. We're now at NDI HX3. The good news is that they're backwards compatible. So with the EC20 camera, it's an NDI HX3 stream protocol. But what that means is if you have any device that supports an NDI input, this camera will be able to interface with your other gear.
Right. And this is working off, again, just to I don't want to use the word dumb it down, but to bring it down to the non-techie person.
Sure.
NDI is dealing with your network at your church, your internet at your church.
Exactly. Not necessarily your internet, but your local network. So what this means is, you know, typically we would connect a camera using an HDMI cable or an SDI cable, right? But in many cases, you don't want to run a 30-foot HDMI cable across the floor. And in fact, HDMI is not really meant for distances longer than about 35 feet. Your signal starts to degrade after that. So what NDI does is it lets you run your video signal over a network cable, the same network cable that you would use to plug in your computer or any other, you know, Ethernet devices that you might have. So really what that means is that that camera, once you plug it into the network, it's going to be available to all, it's going to be available to all the other devices in your premise. That means if I'm in my office on my laptop, I can see that camera. If I'm in, you know, the Sunday school and I need to access a camera, I can reach it from anywhere in the building, essentially. And that's really what's cool about HDMI is it's like a plug and play video protocol that runs over a local network rather than HDMI and SDI cables.
Okay. All right.
So I recently got fiber at my home, and I never before, my home network was not my bottleneck. You know, there was, it was always your internet service provider was your bottleneck. So once I got fiber, I'm like learning, wow, now my network is going to be potentially limiting. How, to do NDI and do and run all this stuff over my network at my church. I mean, you can express it in a speed I need within that, or maybe in an age of equipment. Like if I had 20-year-old network equipment, I'm probably not going to do NDI at my church, or what do you think?
If you have 20-year-old network equipment, you should probably consider updating that regardless, just for security and other reasons. But with something like an NDI HX signal that EC20 supports, you're looking at about 6 megabits of data. You know, it's similar to if you were, you know, watching a Netflix video on your computer. It's, you know, comparable in terms of the bandwidth required. So if you only have a single camera, I would say in many cases, NDI HX will probably work for you. If your network is typically working and functional and you have one camera, that's great. Now, if you're expanding to, you know, maybe you have 3 or 4 cameras now, you know, you have 6 megabit times 4. That's 24 megabit. That's starting to use a little bit more of that headroom that you have. And you never want to be right up against the limit of your network infrastructure. You want to have some headroom for sure.
How much headroom? 2 times, 3 times?
I like to say 2 times, but, you know, in a pinch, I'd want to have at least 25% headroom, if not a little more. You know, for any type of video protocol over IP, because, you know, video over a network tends to have some spikes. So things you might have a bunch of packets come through at once where the network spikes, and you don't want to be dropping frames in your video in those circumstances. So, you know, if you have a modern network switch on your premise that supports something like gigabit, most network switches now have gigabit throughput, you know, that should be satisfactory to have many NDI HX cameras functioning effectively. If you do have many different rooms on your premise, that's where I would suggest that you talk to, you know, an IT professional who understands networks. That way you can make sure that you have the infrastructure to support many rooms rather than a single room. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Wi-Fi? Yeah. What about Wi-Fi?
Wi-Fi is great for phones, laptops, but I would never recommend running your video infrastructure over Wi-Fi. Okay. And the reason for that is, you know, Wi-Fi can be affected by lots of other signal interference, especially when you get all of a sudden the congregation comes in and you have 100 extra devices on your network right when you need it most. You know, probably not a good idea to be running your video infrastructure on the same Wi-Fi network that you use for your day-to-day, for your parishioners or for anybody who's working in the building day-to-day.
Yeah, we've run across that a lot with our customers. It worked fine on Tuesday, but now Sunday morning, we got problems.
Yeah.
Well, everybody has access to your internet.
Yeah, that's just it. And, you know, Wi-Fi is not really meant for video. And this is why our devices, in fact, none of them have Wi-Fi. And that's because it's just such an obvious barrier to reliability that mm-hmm. that we we really encourage that if you're doing professional video, you do need to have a physical network connection to your infrastructure and to your devices.
So none of the Epifan live encoders have, none of them work off Wi-Fi. They all have to have Ethernet or something.
That's okay. Right. It's a network connected device with Ethernet. Now, in the past, we've had consumer products that do have Wi-Fi, but and you'll see many devices like a Yolo box, for instance, that use Wi-Fi, and that's great if you know, you're just doing a pop-up thing once or twice, and it's not, you know, the stakes aren't very high. Right. But if you want to be able to reliably week to week, every single Sunday, without any issues, be able to have a good video stream over your network, you really should be using physical network connections.
Absolutely. We're starting to run out of time here. I want to make sure people, so if I'm a pastor listening to this thing, I'm thinking, okay, I'm interested in this EC20 PTZ camera. How much does it cost?
Yeah, so it's very competitive pricing. I would have to say check our website, because the pricing is changing quickly, but it's around $2,000.
Okay.
I think it's a little bit under that, but you know, check epifan.com. We also have bundles that we offer. So if you do need a video encoder, something to record and stream your video, we have bundles where you can pair that with a camera to get a better price as well. So, you know, all the information is on epifan.com.
And with regard to controllers, if I have Epifan equipment, I can control them with that, but there's other controllers that would integrate with it as well.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways you can control this camera. If you have existing PTZ camera controllers that use VSCA protocol, they will very likely work with this camera. VSCA is a very standard control protocol for PTZ cameras. You can also control it using a web browser. You could control them with something like a Stream Deck, which is, you know, I don't have one on the table. I usually do, but like an Elgato Stream Deck, and you could set up some presets. So you have a lot of options for how to control this camera right out of the box. The web browser is a great way to just get things up and running. It's a very simple menu. But if you want to go further and have like a joystick control or some buttons with some different presets that you could put onto the camera. For example, if you know that you want to pan from like stage left to stage right, and you have you could set up a preset for the lectern at the front of the room, and that way you could say button one always, you know, zooms in on the lectern, and button two always pans to the music or things like that. So pretty easy to get up and running, and lots of ways you can control the camera.
At our church, the guy that was in charge previously brought in a flight simulator stick, and then connected it to the computer and programmed buttons on the flight controller thing. So it doesn't work very well for us.
I love that though, and this is the benefit of having open protocols. It means people can find their own solutions. So like a VSCA camera control protocol is, you know, I'm sure you could set up a video game controller to work with that if you want to go down that route. But, you know, kind of our philosophy at Epifan is we want our gear. We don't see it as a closed ecosystem. We want it to be able to work with everything. So if you want to try to control the camera with a flight stick, it's possible to do that. And we have the APIs that if you are that really technical person, or if you have someone on staff who's like very skilled with using APIs and things like that, you know, sky's the limit in terms of the amount of control and automation that you could build in. And I'll just note one other thing in terms of camera control. One feature I kind of glossed over before is that this does have a tracking module built in. It's using some really smart detection to be able to very smoothly track a presenter. So there's a few different modes of how you can do that. You can create a presenter tracking mode where it will follow the pastor across the room. It will, you know, be intelligent enough to track them, but then if they leave, it will reset back to the lectern, for instance. So if you
it won't follow the guy all the way to the bathroom. It won't follow him all the way.
It will follow him until it has left the zone that you're interested okay. in, right? But also make sure you turn off your lav mic when you do that.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. Yeah. I interrupted you. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. All to say is we recognize that you might not always have, you know, someone at the helm controlling the camera. Sometimes you need to be able to get a good result without any human operators. And that's where AI tracking can really help, is it's just, you know, turn it on. It's going to track the person. It's not going to lose them. Once it locks on to the presenter, even if there's other people coming and going through the frame, it's not going to get confused. It will stay locked on to the correct person.
Yeah, that's good. So we are running out of time here, but I got to ask another question, it's not the EC20 PTZ. It's a question about your live encoders. From time to time, I will have churches ask me, is there a live encoder that I can just schedule the service and the thing will just automatically start streaming and automatically stop streaming when we're done? Does Epiphan have anything like that?
I'm glad you asked that. And yes, we do. In fact, all of our encoders support automation and scheduling. This is all a part of why we have our cloud service. So we have a couple different options in terms of, you know, whether it be scheduling, recordings or streams. If you know that your service is happening at 9 a.m. every Sunday, you know, you can automate that component so that you know that you're never missing the start of a recording or stream.
Yeah. I know we're supposed to be talking about the EC20, but I had to bring that up because...
Oh, that's fine. And, you know, I think for houses of worship, you know, scheduling makes a ton of sense, right? Because your schedule is fairly predictable, I would think, in most cases. So, you know, why do you need to necessarily have a volunteer dedicated to pressing one or two buttons when it can just happen automatically? And the other great thing is if you have something like a recording, you could even have those recordings transfer to your Dropbox or transfer to your network attached storage or different locations where you're really automating as much of that workflow as you can from starting the recording or stream all the way to delivering that final file to the correct location.
Huh. Yeah. I think automation's, you know, we're already dealing with automation stuff, but it's, I think, even more so for churches in the future. All right. So we're out of time here. Dan Wallace has been our guest, and sorry, we were all over the map with questions. Some of them were related, some of them weren't, but it'll be interesting to see what ChatGPT does with this transcript. But anyhow, I digress. Dan, how can people get a hold of you?
Well, you can contact me, Dan. Actually, probably the best way is to find me on LinkedIn. It's Dan Wallace on LinkedIn at Epiphan. That's a really good way to connect with me. You can email me, dwallace@epiphan.com. You can also reach out to us through our website. Just use the chatbot on our website. We have humans in the building monitoring our website chat during business hours, and we'd be happy to help you with any questions that you might have.
All right. Well, that sounds really good. Stick around here for a minute when we're done here, Dan. But I do want to thank our people for listening or watching the Church Solutions podcast. And as always, if we can help you with any of your church needs, and we specialize in streaming, but there's other things that we have done because we have a staff that's been involved in ministry for many years. So if we can help you in any way, please reach out to us. And if you haven't subscribed yet to the Church Solutions podcast, what are you waiting for? Go for it. Subscribe, give us a rating, and you'll never miss a podcast. For Dan Wallace, our guest, and Steve Lacey, I'm Phil Thompson. Please take care of yourself and each other, and we'll catch you again on another episode of the Church Solutions podcast.